Hello, 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 and welcome to the November 30th edition of the Laughing Place podcast. It's been two whole weeks since we've had the opportunity to do a podcast, and boy, are my arms tired. So.
What?
I'm sorry, that's a different joke. this is the November 30th podcast. We had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Hope you did, too. My name is Doobie, and joining me today are Fanboy.
Hello.
Rebecca Mosley.
Happy Monday morning, Mickaholic.
Huh?
He or she posted all the boards that they always listen to the podcast on Monday morning to, you know, brighten the week. So I thought I'd wish a happy Monday morning, Mickaholic.
Oh, that's very nice.
Yeah, I try.
And the captain himself, C-J-O-H-N.
No, there's no
O-N,
H in there.
O-N, O-N, O-N.
This is a podcast you'll be talking about for several days.
very good humor there.
That's funny.
So, before we get started, I'd like to remind you, we'd love to hear from you at podcast@laughingplace.com or 866-718-9408. Thank you, Fanboy.
You're
welcome. Or just post a message on the discussion boards. We've got so
do
much to
talk
about.
Do you record that every week, or do you just push a button and it goes?
I record that live to MP3 every week.
Yeah. Really?
A lot to talk about today. We're going to talk about Enchanted. We're going to talk about some news at the Western Beltway. Fanboy's going to clue us in to the Snow White event. We've got some reader mail, Captain's Challenge, Yak and Yeti, Pop Warner Churro, the Gaylord Palms, more podcasts.
One of these things is not like the other. One of these things just doesn't belong.
So more podcasts than you can squeeze into an hour, so maybe we'll go just a little bit longer. Let's start with Enchanted.
I've been dreaming.
I enjoyed it.
We all saw it, right?
Yeah.
Let's start with you, Rebecca. Well, wait. Before we get started, for all of our friends in Austria, we're going to try to keep this spoiler-free. There might be a point at the end where we introduce some spoilers, so we'll warn you ahead of time. But right now, we are spoiler-free. Got it, guys?
Yeah.
So what bothered me the most was the ending.
Gee, I wonder how it ended.
So, Rebecca, Enchanted, what were your thoughts?
I really enjoyed it. I'm always concerned when Disney talks about kind of doing a modern take on a classic fairy tale or something like that, because oftentimes I don't think they show the proper reverence. That's the wrong word. Reverence is
no,
like,
that's the right word. We're talking classic Disney. That's,
okay.
Yeah.
Royalty.
To be revered.
Yeah. So
some of the modern takes I've seen recently, Snow White, Enchanted. What is that, the Enchanted musical, Snow White?
Yeah.
Okay, and Twice Charmed. Both of those, to me, I don't know. They didn't catch the flavor of Snow White or the flavor of Cinderella. I didn't really care for them.
Apple flavored.
Oh, stop. But I thought this did a really neat job of kind of playing up to that naivete that fairy tale princess has, but without being insulting about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciated that.
What would you give the film overall on a scale of, say, 1 to 42? Okay, 1 to 10.
Oh, well, I would see it again, so I have to say it was an 8. I'm trying to think, what would make it perfect? More music. I love music.
I've been dreaming of
I like music.
True love's first kiss.
I would have even appreciated more.
Fanboy, what were your Enchanted thoughts?
I liked it. I liked it a lot. It was nice. It didn't take itself too seriously, but it wasn't goofball. I mean, it had its slapstick moments, but it wasn't, you know, just full of puns. And it allowed itself to have some heart. The nice touches to Disney tales were nice. You know,
yeah,
Bella Notte
cool.
Cafe and whatever Adriana Casalotti, Eileen Catherine Beaumont, her name was as a news reporter.
It was a nod to the three classics. Mary Eileen Casalotti, yeah.
And Jodie Benson was in it. And
couple
she's
other
pretty.
Recent Disney princesses.
Yeah.
So what would your score overall be?
Those aren't spoilers, are they? To say all
to
that
say
stuff?
No, that's not a spoiler. No.
Okay.
On a scale of 1 to 6.02 times 10 to the 23rd.
Oh, I'd have to go with 0.8 moles. So, 8, if
not
you're
bad.
Going 1 to 10.
Yeah. Captain, I know you're a little tougher on movies like this. What did you think?
Better than Pirates.
You know, because there's so many terrible family movies, I can't find myself to diss this one, because this is just, you know, it's nice. It's all, you know, it's got everything.
When did you introduce diss into your vocabulary?
This has been in my vocabulary. It's just, I don't...
Well, this isn't like diss and that. This is...
No, this is, yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I mean, because it's a musical, you know. There hasn't been too many musicals.
Yay.
I've been dreaming of true love's first kiss.
Okay. Dude, that's painful.
I think, like, just one of my only things is that once you got sort of two-thirds into the way, I think it sort of went, it sort of lost its sort of flair.
It became like a Y equals negative 3X kind of thing.
Yeah, I guess so. No, but because, you know, when I first saw the preview, you know, I was expecting it to be like, oh, this is Disney's version of Shrek. And that's not really what you want to go in thinking that, because you will be a bit disappointed, because it's not exactly only like the first bit of it is really just a parody of itself. Because the animated part I thought was hilarious, just because it's very, they go through every possible cliche you could possibly think of. But once you get past that, then it's just more, you know, official out of water story.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's not particularly, you know, anything you haven't seen before, but it's cute, and, you know, can't beat that.
Where would you rank it?
I think, just with everybody else, I think an 8.
Amy Adams is just so delightful.
She is, and her chemistry with Patrick Dempsey.
Yeah, there you go.
Patrick Dempsey.
You know, because when she did get Love's First Kiss, she woke up and realized it was just a dream.
All a dream.
really. And Patrick Duffy was Shazam Plachette.
She's such a believable, for instance, if you imagine if this really happened,
exactly,
if this actually somehow happened, this is the result.
Did you ever see the TV show back in the 80s where it was Snow White and Prince Charming living in modern world?
Bosom Buddies?
No. I think it was called The Charmings. Do you remember anybody here except me?
Somebody on the forums was talking about that.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah.
So it's not only you.
Because it kind of reminded me of that anyway. Just I think it was done more cleverly. Clever is not the right word. More sophisticated. It was more sophisticated handling of that. But go ahead. I'm sorry. I interrupted you.
No, that's fine. But yeah, if you could, if somehow this happened, I feel like this would be the result. I mean, she didn't overplay it. She didn't play it like an idiot. She played it like I think Snow White would play it. And it was just so well done. And Patrick Dempsey reacted the way that
a modern lawyer would, yeah.
I don't know. It was an awesome movie. I would give it an 8 as well, because, you know, how good can a movie like this? You can't be a 10. It's, you know, it's not like Apollo 13 or something.
Okay.
Apollo 13 is just like...
That's the natural movie I would compare it
well,
to.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
That's what comes to mind.
Yes?
I want to try something.
Okay, fanboy.
You're the fairest maid I've ever met. You were made... Anybody?
To finish our duet.
Yeah, I wasn't going to finish that, for sure. I was leaving that one out there to hang.
You know what I did like about the movie? It's not a spoiler because it's in the trailer. Is Suzanne Sarandon as a dragon.
That's
it was good. Do you think we'll see an Enchanted 2 Electric Boogaloo?
I don't know. That's an interesting thought.
I think Giselle's Enchanted Christmas.
I liked the question that Chili Fries tossed out regarding this. If you had to escape to another world, which Disney and 2D animated film would you choose? So in essence, if you climbed out of a human manhole into an animated world, which of the animated worlds would you want to step into? Not that you're not replacing the main character or any of the supporting characters. You're just stepping into that their world.
Briar Patch.
Really?
Well, we're the Laughing Place.
Well, okay, I understand that, but I mean, really, that's like when you think
Snow White and
of
the Seven
all
Dwarfs?
The of all the animated worlds that you've seen Disney create, that's the one you want to step into. The one with the, I mean, I understand that. Schnebs, I think that was Schnebs' answer. Yeah, he wants to be there with the singing animals.
I'm thinking maybe Prince of Egypt.
Okay, not Disney. Try again.
Yeah, because you want to live through the plagues.
That's a good question.
I loved Magnet says The Little Mermaid. But only if he could enter before Ariel marries that idiot Eric. And he hopes to steal her away from him. And if not, then he'd go start a band with Sebastian.
I have a big problem with stepping into to the world of the Little Mermaid, though.
You can't breathe?
I can't breathe. Yeah. That would be a major dampening point.
That would be kind of a bummer.
It would be pretty damp down there, too. It's underwater.
I'm trying to think. I'm particularly fond of Cinderella. Because the birds are so pretty that help make clothes. And I think that's cool.
Oliver and Company, because it's just so different than everyday life.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I was thinking The Rescuers.
Aww.
R-E-S-E-U-E.
that was in this weird thing. I got this email from Kirby, Toon Kirby, and it was a bracket of the best Disney songs. And so it's like, you know, A or B, and then from there it figures out this whole bracket to come up with the best Disney song. And that was one of the choices, was Rescue Aid Society. I think it was like, do you want Rescue Aid Society or Whole New World? I'm like, okay.
Do you remember what won that?
No, I don't remember what I selected. It's okay. Your personal bracket.
Then
you go through, and it makes all these various choices for you, and then you end up with this bracket, as it were, of
I remember in my bracket of integrity that UCLA won.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, maybe we should pull the Disney song bracket out this coming March. Again, March Madness versus Disney song bracket.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, okay, I'll remember that.
You know, what my favorite is? I've been dreaming of a true love's kiss.
On that
and
note.
I liked how
Princess, how do you know?
I'm hoping comes with this.
It's How Do You Know, the big showstopper?
Yeah.
That was.
How do you know?
I forgot. The movie was a 9.
Yeah.
That was just one of the most amazing, magical scenes I've ever seen in a movie.
Wasn't it? Yeah. But you've never seen The Sound of Music.
No, I haven't.
It kind of reminded me of the Do-Re-Mi sequence of The Sound of Music.
Speaking of Sound of Music, Julie Andrews is in this movie, too.
Well, yeah, her voice.
Yeah, you know,
she's the perfect
narrator. Julie Andrews.
You know, the one thing that I did find kind of strange and yet appropriate for the tone of the film was how the film opened with the book, you know, the classic Disney book. But Snow White, it's like this ornate, amazing book with like jewels. It seems, you know, very expensive and exquisite. And this one opens up as a pop-up book.
That's cool.
That's cool.
Yeah, I know, but it just seemed kind of funny to me because the other one, like I say, it seemed like, you know, very delicate. I don't know. To me, it always seemed like something I would look at in a museum but never touch. And then the Enchanted book, you know, is a pop-up book, which to me, they were always kind of cheap and cheesy.
Okay, now here's the thing. Why did they have to put a pop song at the end of this movie? I want to know. Because it's like all of a sudden,
I like pop songs.
All of a sudden it's like the end, and all of a sudden, oof, it's over, and then there's a pop song.
So they have something to release
like
on radio
songs.
To promote the film.
Okay.
I like pop songs. I'm a fan of the pop song.
What bothered me was
credits.
At the end of the movie, you exit into a gift shop.
I was wishing there had been some fun stuff in the credits.
Or like something after.
Yeah,
there's nothing
like
after
a little
the
tag or something. It just felt like a movie where you were kind of expecting it because it's kind of so bizarre.
Yeah, but it was good.
But I loved it. Oh, no, I totally loved it. I want to see it again, and I'm looking forward to the DVD. I can see that as a DVD I'll throw in periodically because it's just, I don't know, it leaves you happy. I like films where I leave happy.
And it did very well at the box office. Congratulations, Disney. And
woo-hoo!
The movie is definitely proving to be very popular.
Hey, you know it wasn't very, it was not the most pleasurable part of seeing that movie?
Okay.
The trailers.
I'm looking forward to College Road Trip.
Really?
Because that means I don't have to see Golden Compass or that stupid romance or the other fantasy movie.
But see, you didn't have to sit through an Alvin and the Chipmunks preview.
Oh, oh yes, we did. Didn't we? No, I guess we didn't.
No, we saw a commercial.
We saw a commercial, yeah.
You know what I want, though?
What?
A hula hoop.
Let's move on. Fanboy, tell us all about the new Flamingo Hotel going up on the outskirts of the Walt Disney World
Flamingo
Strip.
Hotel.
Yeah, in the
crazy man.
As if Disney didn't have a decent naming department. Flamingo Crossings will be the name of that Western Beltway development. I actually think I prefer the term Western Beltway development to Flamingo Crossings. Flamingo Crossings sounds like something that you stop by on your way from Miami and you.
Is the mob involved with this or something?
I'm not quite sure what's going on with that. But that's it's going to be outside of Disney's gates, but it will be on Disney property in terms of that will be inside the Reedy Creek Improvement District. But Disney is actually selling the land as opposed to leasing the land as they have with like the hotels at the Hotel Plaza Boulevard and such like that.
But it's inside Reedy Creek, which means they can't just do anything without Disney having some say over what happens.
Well,
right?
Technically, without Reedy Creek having some say.
Oh, but come on.
Yeah, I know. But I'm just being technical. So and then they would actually have voting rights with inside the Reedy Creek Improvement District. So obviously Disney would have more land, therefore it's a moot point. But you know, it could be some fun meetings. Woohoo! If they have them, I guess.
They're gonna build some low cost housing over there.
Stupid. Yay, we won that too, by the way. Yay.
So cool. Any thoughts yet on who's buying any of the parcels?
SunCal.
Yeah, I doubt it.
So, but that actually, I mean, the fact that they're selling parcels instead of just leasing them, that is a fairly big deal, right, in the history of this company?
Not really.
Okay,
I think
to me it was.
The Orlando Sentinels make a big deal about it, but it's not it's not that big of a deal. It's, I mean, in the same way that the Bonnet Creek Resort is inside the Reedy Creek Improvement District, they just never bought the land to begin with, so it's not really that big of a deal.
The Orlando Sentinel was making made a strong point of the fact that what they get a vote for however many acres of land or whatever, the people who own it. I mean, but when you look at the percentages, it's not like, even if they were all, like, band together, like, everybody at the Flamingo Crossings decided, we feel this way. Even if they were all band together, the numbers would still be so small in comparison to Reedy Creek. So it's not like they're putting themselves in some sort of voting jeopardy.
What if they could, like, get the value resorts to kind of band together and be on their team and do some kind of compromise? Maybe get the DVCs in there.
There you go.
All right, well, Fanboy, still in your department because of the four of us. You're the one that went to California a couple weeks ago.
You know what I didn't see?
What?
Phantasmic.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, that's really sad.
Was it actually operating and you missed it? Or
it was operating, but I had other obligations and I could not see it.
And what was one of those obligations?
Going to the Snow White. I guess they had some name for the event, but I'm just going to call it the Snow White exhibit premiere.
The Snow White shindig.
Disney's California. But I believe that it would be considered hoopla.
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 Wing ding,
hoopla.
No, soiree.
Please. Hoopla.
Perpetif.
I like hoopla.
Hoopla.
So what did you see at this hoopla?
A lot of apple-flavored appetizers.
Oh, seriously?
Oh, I wouldn't touch those.
Did they have any apples with, like, images on them? Didn't they do that when Snow White the musical opened? They had that event over at Interventions, and they had the candied apples.
They sold those at sold those at the Enchanted Cottage.
Oh, that's right.
Yums?
Yes, Yums.
Okay.
Also known as Miko's and Troubadour Treats and the Grassy Knoll.
Wow, it's had many names.
So how was the Enchanted event?
The Enchanted event was fabulous. They had a little cocktail reception, I guess is what you'd call it, with apple flavored alcohol.
Woohoo!
At the Soundstage 17, I guess, or whatever Who Wants to Be a Millionaire Play its building is called.
Uh-huh.
Started off a little bit late because people were caught in traffic.
Was it decorated there? Inside?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. You know, like they dragged out the stuff that was left over from the musical and put it up.
Oh, cool.
And you could meet and greet with Snow White and
Dwarfs?
Yeah, no.
Prince?
The Prince.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
Who I kept wanting to call Edward, but not. They had a panel discussion. I mean, an amazing panel. You had Don Hahn, Glenn Keane, John Lasseter. Alice Davis was in attendance.
Leonard Maltin part of that
Leonard
panel?
Leonard Maltin, Marge Champion.
Very cool.
So a lot of talent up on that stage. I talked a little bit about the exhibit, which I guess Bob Iger decided. It was the largest private collection of Snow White art that was being available for sale. Bob Iger decided to buy it, so this was sort of the impetus of everything. They put it in the courtyard part of the animation building. The pictures don't cycle through the different movies anymore. Now it's just sort of Snow White art is projected, and then they have the exhibit in the middle. And so we got to walk around that. John Lasseter introduced the movie. They gave us a replication of the opening day program.
Oh, very
and,
nice.
You know, it was, you know, for I mean, it wasn't a lavish Disneyana kind of event, but for what it was nice because it was more focused on being an animation event.
Like,
you know, listening
the knowledge, the information,
and
supposed
a good
to
chance
trinkets.
To see Snow White on a huge Hyperion.
Oh, that'd
screen,
be awesome.
Which, you know, the whole time you're going, that Arabian archway kind of distracts from the movie a little bit, but hey, whatever. And also, you know, I mean, I hadn't been in the animation building for quite some time. They have the Toy Story Zoetrope, which is, amazing.
I have never seen something get so much attention that's not
spins
an attraction.
Around. Yeah, and you know, the YouTube doesn't do it justice.
I can't wait. We're going to see it in a couple weeks.
And
you have to see it in person.
They advertise Wall-E and Bolt and all that fun stuff there, too. So
now, we put up, I know that Ken Pellman wrote up a...
Yeah, we have a long article on the event.
Did he put up pictures and video or just pictures?
He has pictures.
Very cool. Okay. I haven't had a chance to look at it, but I wasn't sure what we offered. That's cool.
Photograph.
So if you want more information, Ken Pellman on laughingplace.com. There's more there.
You must live. Cool. So now I know there's some speculation that if DCA moves forward into its second millennium, that
it's second millennium.
Yeah, that thing
been around for quite some time. Yeah, it was there like all the time, and they just dug it up underneath the parking lot.
That they're going to do more events like this. Do you think it's a good venue for that? And DCA
Absolutely.
Pulled it off well.
Yeah, I think it was a great event in terms of celebrating animation.
I know another place that would be a great host for such things.
Where?
Disney's Hollywood Studios.
Where H is our middle initial.
Because, I mean, if you think about all the various animation houses that are here now in Orlando, especially because when Disney feature animation kind of moved away from Orlando, a lot of those people went and, you know, developed their own little studios or whatnot. And there's you know, a lot of passionate animation fans here, not only because of, you know, the theme parks and that, but, you know, just the industry itself. And you've got the video gaming industry is also very strong here, and that's, you know, animation-based as well. So I'd love to see them do something similar to what they just did out in California, but do it here at Disney's Hollywood Studios.
Well, actually, we can't call it that until next month.
Well, by then it would be, so, you know, I'm just thinking ahead. The event would have to be held. They can't possibly organize and put off something
I
like that.
I think still, if you mention it now, you have to say Disney's Hollywood Studios, now known as Disney.
Oh, currently known as Disney MGM Studios.
Yeah, but
okay,
if you hear this podcast, if this podcast is a rerun, then
yeah, that would be very confusing.
Well, and who knows when it'll be by then. It could be Disney's Horrorwood Studios by that point.
It could be Disney's Pile of Dirt from, you know.
Oh.
I'm not saying anything.
It could be DCA East, which makes no sense whatsoever.
Epcot 2. Disney's America.
Disney World 2. And staying on the West Coast, we got an email from Toby in Sacramento.
Toby's one of my favorite Disney characters.
What movie is that from?
Great Mouse Detective.
Yay!
It's almost like it's Rebecca's best friend. And she can stay at, and Toby can stay at the new best friend's.
All right, we'll get there.
We'll get there.
Toby, he's one of my favorite characters on The Office.
Yes.
He says, "Greetings, LP crew. First thing, I want to thank you for the podcast."
You're welcome.
"I have two questions related to Downtown Disney and the new Garden Walk."
I can't believe it opened.
Tell me about it.
Well, but I mean, I can't believe anything there opened, because it's one of those things, in the same way that I can't believe the Disney MGM Studios is actually not going to be the Disney MGM Studios, because that rumor lasted for so long.
Right. "I've heard the news that Disney might have a few hotels at Garden Walk. Will Disney have any other financial interest in the new shopping area? I ask because I'm curious about the possible competition between Downtown Disney and Garden Walk, and that leads me to my second question. If Garden Walk is a huge success and pulls numbers away from Downtown Disney, can we expect major changes to Downtown Disney? I've heard rumblings of Downtown Disney additions and improvements, but wasn't sure if one was related to the other. Thanks again, and keep on trucking. P.S. Churros all the way." Fanboy. I don't know who else I would ask, but...
Yes?
What do you think?
Oh, about this.
Earth to fanboy.
I was thinking about True Love's Kiss.
Dude, that movie made quite an impact on fanboy.
Well, I think you got to have a very complex view when it comes to Disney's relationship with Garden Walk. There is no – Disney's not an investor in Garden Walk, but Disney is no longer antagonistic to Garden Walk. In fact, with this whole SOAR thing, I think has solidified their support for Garden Walk. And sort of a bridge, you know, a third-party bridge to the possible third gate. Disney Resorts, Disney Shopping at Garden Walk would be their financial interest and not a party that's invested in Garden Walk. And I don't think they view it necessarily as competition with Downtown Disney, especially considering Downtown Disney has had plenty of success. It's not like there's more demand than meets supply. So I think Downtown Disney expansions are coming. Just, we don't know when.
Disney Quest?
When you wish upon a star. I think of it more as a compliment. In the same way, I don't think Disney views Universal as much as competition anymore, as much as a compliment, because, I mean, even more less than that, but it's more about, especially there where they know they're not a full week-long extravaganza.
Right.
I don't think it's competition any more than Garden Grove is competition.
Well, in some ways, it can. I mean, I can see where Disney might think it could benefit them in that if the Downtown Disney offerings aren't your, you know, cup of tea, if you go to Cheesecake Factory, say at Garden Walk, and it's right there, you have a better chance of actually going back into the theme parks, so as opposed to, right, you know, hopping in your car and driving off to the nearest Cheesecake Factory. And, you know, so, and sometimes that happens, especially when you're, if you take, if you go there often, which, as we know, Disney has a large annual, you know, pass holder base. So, you know, it could be helpful that way. No, I'm not referring to the Small World refurbs.
Well, and I think that goes back to Flamingo Crossings. Is, you know, Disney is essentially competing with itself, but they have a more complex view of the world than they did 10 years ago.
That's deep.
That is a good point, Rebecca. Why go to the block when you can go to Garden Walk and then still finish your shopping at Something Silver as soon as you're done?
Well, because you know how, even for us, when we live there, so, you know, and we went to the theme parks so often, sometimes we would leave to go eat, and because it was a time of year that was maybe more tourism-based, the Downtown Disney would be packed with people or whatnot who don't necessarily feel comfortable, you know, traveling great distances to go find food. You know, they're going to eat right what's right there. So we'd end up, you know, going way far away and not coming back. And now, you know, we'll come back, and what'll happen? We'll hang around. We'll go get cups of coffee because it's starting to get chilly and we want to watch the parade. Or we'll, you know, see a sweatshirt that maybe now we're beginning to get a little chilled, and we'll pick up so they'll, you know, make some more money off of us because we're, you know, staying there longer.
Oh, that's a good point.
When you read the email, you know, obviously if Garden Walk is a huge success and they notice that numbers are going away from Downtown Disney because of it, they'll make adjustments. They'll make the adjustments needed.
We'll see a William Sonoma.
But I'm really interested to see what the overall flavor is going to be of Garden Walk, because I don't really
apple
vanilla.
I don't really know yet, because I've heard Bubba Gump Shrimp is going to be there, and I've heard P.F. Chang's and
City
Cheesecake
Walk
Factory. Yeah, but I mean, I haven't heard much as far as the retail side. I've heard stuff as far as food, but I haven't heard as much retail, so I don't know how that's going to. I'm more interested to see how that breaks down.
Do you think they're putting a movie theater there?
I don't know. Are they? Is that part of the plan?
I don't remember anymore. I don't think that area supports one movie theater right now, let alone two.
It's
if
been
they
a long
an IMAX,
time since I looked.
Would.
Oh, that's an excellent point. Yeah.
That'd be fun.
You're the fairest maid I ever met. Because
wasn't there talk of
you shut up or you're going to get hit.
Wasn't there talk of an aquarium there for a while?
Yeah, that got canned.
That got turned canned. And now it's Bubba Gum Shrimp.
Oh, dear me.
All right.
But you know what? If you go to AnaheimGardenWalk.com, they've got, like, you know, plans there and various, you know, little documents about the development of the
opening
place and whatever.
Fall 2002.
So if you're, you know, terribly interested in it, you can look. By the way, they do have a theater listed in their, you know, plans. And I don't mean that, you know, that they say this is in stone, this will definitely be this. But, you know, to give you some concept of what the layout will be and how many restaurants there'll be and how many retail locations, you can check out Anaheim.
GardenWalk.com.
Part of the Go Network. Ironically.
Captain J-O-N.
Silly boy.
It's your turn.
Hey, Captain.
All right, mateys, it's time for the Captain's Challenge. Last week's question, well, not last week because we didn't have one, but last time I asked, name a movie which has Thanksgiving. Okay. And the winner this time is Twirl and Hurl with Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
I get it. French class.
Achoo! Oh, that's a movie. Sorry. Yeah. That's the show. Attraction.
But, you know, some debate because there's, like, the big turkey and it like, looks obviously Thanksgiving, but I don't think anywhere do they say it's Thanksgiving.
It could be Christmas turkey.
You know, I remember that after, you know, I asked it, but, you know, it's...
Is there football on the TV?
Let's see what the our other input was. Magnet with a Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. Because Disney ABC acquired the rights to holiday specials. So one could say it's a Disney movie.
Does that mean Shrek the Hollis is a Disney special?
Sorry, Magnet, you do not get credit for that.
That's funny. That's awesome.
Let's see. At the end of Lilo and Stitch, there's an actual Christmas, apparently, according to Pirate Princess. Not just cards and pictures, but riding a miniature ship like Stitch flew in the beginning.
Oh, is this Lilo and Stitch? Oh, yeah. I remember that.
I recall that now. Not to mention in the credits, there's Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I remember
in there.
That one.
And cool. On the same subject with Disney movies of Christmas, we have Toy Story at the end. You know, Andy gets a puppy at the end.
Mrs. Potato Head, Mrs. Potato Head, Mrs. Potato Head.
Wow, a puppy.
Yes. Anyway.
Wow, I don't even remember that. Do you remember that, honey?
I remember that the Mrs. Potato Head thing,
me too.
But I don't remember that it was at the end of the movie.
No, me neither. That's very funny.
The movie's very dated.
Yeah, apparently Christmas.
Total non sequitur.
Yeah, they have Christmas in it. It makes it dated.
Aw, Mr. Non Sequitur.
You got one? You got anything else?
All right. For all you listening out there, here's a... Because we're talking about Yak and Yeti in a moment, I believe. So we're tying I'm going to tie this in with some Animal Kingdom, all right?
Woohoo!
Asia. Yak and Yeti in Cali River Rapids. Not just in Asia. Let's get more detail. They're in the kingdom of what?
Interesting.
Bum-ba-da-da.
Animal.
The Animal Kingdom?
Yeah.
Okay, but this is the... Within
Asia... Within Asia...
They're
a
in
kingdom.
A kingdom within
you mean the Asia. Animal Kingdom or the real Asia?
No,
the
in
Asia,
the Animal Kingdom.
In Animal Kingdom.
It's divided into sections?
There's a
no,
kingdom
it's all,
within
the whole
Asia.
The whole land is in a
Asia
kingdom.
Oh, like Africa
kingdom.
Is actually Harambe.
Harambe. Yes.
Yes.
And
but
Oasis
you're not supposed to be answering.
Is
Oasis.
Oasis.
Yeah.
Expedition Everest is in this village of Sirkazong, which is part of the kingdom of...
What? That's what we're asking.
And it's very exciting
I understand
to be
now.
Asked.
You know, technically, you're riding on Forbidden Mountain. That's Everest back there.
Everest, yeah, it's way off.
Good point. Everest is in Nepal.
But it's so big, you can see it from Forbidden Mountain. Thank you so much, Captain. And you so eloquently introduced our next topic, which is the
Good
new
eats.
Restaurant at Animal Kingdom, Puke and Monster.
No.
I'm sorry. Yak and Yeti.
Yak and Yeti. What an unfortunate name. But it's really yummy. We like it there.
It's awesome.
Just don't think of the name too thoroughly.
So we've all gotten to go so far. I believe Rebecca and I have been three times.
Woohoo!
Fanboy once, Captain once, and Rebecca and I
three times.
You the third time's the charm. So maybe you're going to get like
really
detailed.
Oh, it was great because we got the same server that we had the first time we were there. And he's a fun guy.
Hi,
like
Steven. If you're listening, I'm really surprised.
Yeah.
Great view of Jingle Jungle.
Oh, that was nice. He brought us up to, he saw us as we walked into the restaurant. He remembered us because we were there opening day. And
he would forget you guys.
And he helped, he brought us upstairs to one of his tables where we were able to overlook the parade route. And Jingle Jungle came by as we were enjoying the magnificent dessert. But let's not go get ahead of ourselves. The meal starts with the appetizers.
But it starts with the glacier water.
What did, oh, see,
but,
there you go.
But even more in general, it starts when entering the restaurant.
It starts when you enter the mm-mm kingdom.
Exactly.
And see, where once stood a wall, is now this beautiful restaurant.
Huge, too. Who knew
that
all was out back there?
Yeah.
It's huge. It's a laundry. No, it's run by Landry. It's called the Yak and Yeti.
Yeah.
And
or T-Rex if you get your credit card bill.
And it's beautiful, for one thing.
It's rather ornately decorated. Lots and lots of they appear to be authentic, you know, items. It's very similar in a way to, you know, the feel and flavor that you have throughout the rest of the area. I mean,
and nothing like Rainforest.
Yeah, Landry is the same company that
runs
Rainforest Cafe. There are no rainforests. There are no animatronics. There
it's
is no one trying to sell you a safari card.
And it's not particularly loud. And I mean, it's a nice.
Bad BGM though.
What?
But let's stick with the positive.
Oh, okay.
What do you mean bad BGM? It's
terrible BGM.
It's bad BGM.
I don't mind it. The two.
Do you have something against Asian music?
Yeah,
no,
they do.
Something against bad Asian music.
I liked it. I wouldn't have mind. I don't mind it. So
the place is very open, being that it's like two floors, and like the middle is like there's like a big opening, so
yeah,
it's like
beautiful.
All the people from upstairs could look down, and you could
and
like
throw
look
food
up.
At each other.
So
like Skyway.
You know what we didn't get? Fortune cookies.
We've only gotten them one time when we went
true.
There.
Yeah, I was there at that time.
Yeah, the
that's
other two times we went, we didn't get fortune cookies.
No,
I wonder if
sure.
it's because we ordered dessert.
Maybe because the Lucky Fortune cookie ran out.
Oh, that's right. They were Lucky
Fortune
cookies.
Cookies.
And we were debating whether or not they came from DCA.
But that would be kind of scary, being that I don't think that place has been in operation for a long time.
Oh, they made a lot of cookies out of it.
No, we were just joking
for all the crap.
Didn't they flavor them too? Didn't they have like chocolate fortune cookies and stuff too?
Yeah, yeah, they tried everything.
And every fortune was a fast pass.
And I remember when DCA first opened, they talked about how expensive that fortune cookie machine maker was. So.
Aww.
Cool, because when you walk by, you can just smell fortune cookies in the air all the time.
And when you walk by Yak and Yeti, you smell Yetis all the time.
Which is better than the alternative.
But when you're in there, you almost expect to see like the mountain guy walking by with his little flock of sheep.
Herpa? Oh, that's just Joe Rohde.
Yeah.
What, no, Sherpa.
Sherpa, yeah. Sherpa. You totally you feel like that or some guy's going to come in with a big pack. You know, like he's just been climbing up the mountain or something, and he's going to throw down his big pile of gear.
He wasn't a victim of the yak attack?
No. Oh, that's a good drink.
Which is their signature drink.
I haven't had that one yet. I had the Emperor Margarita, which was nice.
The place feels a bit upscale, I'd say. It's certainly priced, you know, high-end.
What? Entrees were between $15 and $21.
Yeah. Yeah, which is, you know, pretty normal for a decent theme park restaurant.
Yeah.
But it was good food. It was well worth it, we thought. Much better than the last new restaurant that we tried out.
I thought for the environment and the food, I prefer it over the Tutto Italia
just
experience.
One thing to note, if you're looking for anything remotely authentic, pass.
Oh, yeah.
This is definitely American Asian food.
Oh, totally. But they have a lot of nice herbs and flavorings that you don't typically find. The maple tamarind chicken was really, really tasty, and it's not a very typical it's a grilled chicken, and the maple and tamarind flavor, it's a kind of a sweet and tangy, you don't find it everywhere.
Every time we've gone, we've gotten the fried green beans for an appetizer.
Yeah, and we usually
awesome.
Get one of their specialty non-alcoholic drinks, which are both great.
Water.
Glacier water, which is blue curacao and coconut syrup with a splash
really
of Sprite.
It's
and
awesome.
Then they also have a cherry lime thing, which to me is like a cherry lime Ricky. It's cherry and lime and Sprite, which
that
is also
Ricky.
Tasty.
They have, and for our entree, we've gotten various things.
Oh,
today you got the
I've had just
cups.
About everything now.
Yeah.
The lettuce cups as actually an appetizer that I ordered as my entree today. And then the last time we were there, I had the seared sesame ahi tuna salad, which was really yummy. Right up there with the Soren, if you go to Soren and have their seared tuna, I thought that this was actually, to me, I enjoyed the seared tuna. I'm sorry, not Soren, but Sunshine Seasons.
Oh, okay. I'm like, there's no meal service on that flight.
Yeah, no, sorry.
There's
Seasons.
No tray tables.
Seasons over at Soren area. So, yeah, I thought the seared tuna was really good. I had sweet and sour chicken for my entree the first time we went, and it's very typical of what you get. I thought it was less sweet than your typical...
More sour?
But no, but I just mean that you could actually really taste the vegetables that were with it and the chicken that was with it. Sometimes it's so sweet it kind of overpowers everything else. And I thought the other flavors still were able to come through. What did you get, Captain?
I got crispy honey chicken.
Oh, that's right.
Pretty much, you know, the same general sweet and sour type thing, except no sour part.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
So sweet.
And you could get that at the quick service place that's next door, which is
true. They do have a quick service place
and
as
a bar.
Well. They also have a bar inside and a bar window outside, so there are four ways to enjoy it, plus their shop.
Yep.
My biggest complaint about them is I'm a vegetarian, and they have only one vegetarian entree on the meal.
Which really surprises
menu,
me.
Which is lo mein with vegetables, which I do enjoy. But on the plus side, they do have a number of side dishes, a vegetable, jasmine rice and a brown rice, both of which I really love.
And it's neat to be able to get brown rice, because some people prefer to have brown rice because of the nutrients versus a white rice.
That's really good. And then the best part, though, and the whole reason we go are the desserts.
Oh, yeah.
That's not the whole reason we go, but it's one of the reasons we go. The others being the entree.
We've only tried two of the four desserts.
Yeah, we've tried two of them three times.
Yeah, we don't branch out. We have to go back sometime and just branch out.
The mango pie.
Which comes on a shortbread cookie crust.
That's some yummy pie.
Mama made shortbread.
Which
Mom
you,
made shortening.
What, Doobie and Fanboy really liked. Did you like it too, Captain? The mango pie?
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, see, I wasn't as fond of it as the three men were.
It may be a little bit, you know, like really, really sweet.
I think the problem is I don't like I'm not a shortbread cookie fan, so I think that
she isn't like a mama.
I have a feeling if it was like a graham cracker crust, I'd be cool. And then, I'm just ignoring you. And then the other thing that we really love and that I have to actually keep myself from eating too many of is the
cream cheese wonton.
Oh yeah.
Yep. Oh yeah.
In a caramel sauce.
Oh yeah.
On skewers with warm pineapple, which almost makes up for the removal of the pineapple and caramel from Ohana.
Ohana.
But you can't spear those.
No,
because they're already speared for you.
Right.
Don't forget Fanboy's favorite part of that dish.
Ice cream.
Big old scoop of vanilla
ice
cream.
Yeah, big scoop. Mm.
Is it like good vanilla ice cream, or is it just like...
It's just plain vanilla. It's not a vanilla bean ice cream. It's just a nice plain vanilla ice cream.
It's a good vanilla ice cream. All right.
Another nice thing about the restaurant, as Captain mentioned, it has two stories.
Mm-hmm.
And the second story has lots of windows. You get a lot of good views, including a view of the parade route. And when we ate there earlier today for lunch, our meal coincided with the parade. And from where we were on the side room, you got a decent view. But there's about two tables over on another room, which just have an incredible view. Look on LP Live from today's date, which would be November
30th.
29th.
Oh, sorry.
It's on there right now. So.
Oh, right.
November 29th, and I took a live picture from up there, and I'm sure I'll put some more up on the site. And it's just a beautiful view of the parade, and it gives you this really weird experience of watching the parade and not hearing it.
With no audio.
Oh, I mean, there's audio.
There's audio. The restaurant background music. And it's
dude, you guys
bizarre.
Are harsh on that. I like that music, but
it's
whatever.
It's bizarre, but it's really cool. It's a beautiful view, and I could have sat there and watched the whole parade.
We really could have.
Really enjoyed that. So, Yak and Yeti, highly recommended all the way around.
We really enjoyed it, and we learned today that it's now a part of the reservation system, so you can call and make it priority seating.
Reservation.
And I'm sorry, make a reservation.
Which really is just a priority
seating. I understand. And annual pass holders get 10% off select entrees. And so go and enjoy Yak and Yeti.
Yeah.
And if you see us there, don't be surprised, because I like it there.
Thank you, Landry. And now we're looking forward to your next one.
Yeah, that's the funny thing. I wasn't looking. When I read this announcement, I'm not a big Rainforest Cafe fan, so I was kind of disappointed.
Since this announcement, we've become bigger Rainforest
Cafe
fans.
Yeah, I know. It's
fan.
Very funny.
It's because you keep eating it.
And now we've got Yak and Yummy, and then soon we've got the T-Rex.
I think it should be called Yummy and Yeti. I'm fine.
Yummy and Yeti?
No,
or
no.
Yummy
Yak
Yeti?
Yak and Yummy.
Yak and Yummy. Oh, but Yak is just so negative.
What about
Tigers
and Yetis?
What was the original name of this place? Yak and Yawn or something?
Yeah, it was something like that.
Silly.
Well, that's even worse.
Yeah, I got it. Believe it or not, Yak and Yeti is the better name.
Yeah.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. You know what time it is now, folks.
Time for popcorn or churros.
It's my favorite part of the show.
It is?
It's my favorite part of the show. It's my favorite part of the show. It's my favorite part of the show.
Hooray.
Popcorn or churro.
Hooray.
Rebecca, you got some from the website you want to give to the crew here?
Yep, I have two from the website, and then we'll go around the table.
Alrighty.
Okay.
The first one is from Donnie AZ, and it's classic Disneyland sign or the new Disneyland Resort arch.
Classic.
Classic.
It's a classic.
Mm-hmm.
Classic.
Classic. Well, I like the one that they did in the 90s or 80s. Not the one that's just the letters on spokes. But
I know which one you're talking about. That's me too. I like the marquee he's talking about. The one Fanboy's talking about. Didn't they used to have like park hours and like what was happening?
And the dragon from Fantasmic.
Yeah, what I remember is when Festival of Fools was there. It was once a year in Paris, but every day at Disneyland.
Oh, that's right.
Festival of Fools.
I remember when we got a phone call from a friend of ours because they were tearing it down, and she was driving by as it happened, and she took all these pictures of it to send to us.
And we put it up on LP, and it's still there.
It's probably still on Laughing Place
pictures
somewhere.
Pictures that are about the size of a postage stamp.
Oh, that's right. We used to put up pictures that were like 100 by like 75. Oh,
now
man.
We put up full videos in 10-minute shows.
Wow, amazing. And then Submarine Maniac had submitted a question, and then he went on to further elaborate on it. And so the question turns out, we may have discussed it before, but now that we know what he was looking for, Walt Disney World Resort food or Disneyland Resort food? Before we weren't sure if it was Disneyland or Magic Kingdom or what, so now we know. It's, do you want, you get to pick Walt Disney World Resort, anywhere at the resort, the food there, or Disneyland Resort, anywhere in the resort, food there. Which one? Go.
On the whole.
Yes. In totality.
It almost pains me to say that because I love Napa Rose so much, but Disney World.
Disney World has more, like, just places, but I think I'd have to go with Disneyland, I think.
Wow.
It's tough. I don't know. It's hard.
Disneyland, two words, Carlos Aquarius.
That's the same answer as before.
Yep.
I think for me, I have to go with Disneyland Resort because I find I crave it. And I think it's because it's not here. Like, every once in a while, I'm just dying for a Monte Cristo, Monte Cristo with no ham. Or I'm craving the hazelnut torte from Napa Rose. Or the other thing I crave, and this is the most bizarre, is the balsamic vinaigrette from, what's the name of the place?
Top Brass?
No. No, dude. There is nothing I crave.
You remember when we ate, I believe you were with me. We ate there and had this
you
pizza.
You ate there.
Okay, did I tell you about it?
No, oh. I was with you, but I did not touch it.
What is this?
Top Brass, which is the once decent bar, and maybe now, for all I know, outside of what's now Goofy's, man, things change around there, what's now Goofy's Kitchen. And
okay.
They have a bar, and there's a couple of TVs, and you can order something.
Pizza.
I once ordered cheese pizza.
And it was
I'm used to cheese pizza from the carts. You put it in one end, 5 minutes later it comes out the other end.
Doobie is not picky
not
when
great,
it comes.
But you can eat it. This was...
Doobie didn't eat it.
As Ross once said, it tastes like feet.
It was pretty awful.
It was awful.
It looked bad, too.
I couldn't eat it. That's how awful it was.
Yeah. And Doobie's not one to turn down cheese. Yeah,
that wasn't cheese.
He didn't eat it.
There's no way the FDA would allow that to be called cheese.
Okay,
I'm pretty
but
sure
that's not
that.
What I was thinking about. I was thinking, what's the name of the place we used to eat, like, all the time? Like,
PCH Grill?
No. The one at, yeah, that one. Oh. The balsamic vinaigrette at Storyteller Cafe. I don't know why, but every once in a while, I just crave it.
I'll crave their pizzas. They would do me some nice pizzas up in Storyteller with the potatoes
that,
and the blue
is that
cheese.
Is Jeff?
I did.
I think his name was Jeff. But no, his name wasn't Jeff.
Ah, the good old days. Anyway, we're talking food. That's not good.
Yeah.
All right, so that's all for the readers, right?
Yep. Now time for you guys.
Who wants to go first?
We'll make Doobie go first.
I'm ready. Mini golf, Fantasia or Winter Summerland?
Fantasia.
Winter Summerland.
Winter Summerland.
But even better, Fantasia Fairways, because it's just so hilarious at how horrible it will be.
I can't believe I still have yet to do
it. It is so funny. You just play, and you know it's just impossible to do any of this right. You know, we're hitting balls and wherever, like, they're hitting trees and stuff. It's just hilarious.
I'm going to go with Winter Summerland. Fantasia's cool, but Winter Summerland, you can tell, was done well after Fantasia. You can tell. Fanboy, you got one for us?
Who Framed Roger Rabbit or Enchanted?
Roger
Enchanted.
Rabbit. Roger Rabbit.
Enchanted, no doubt. For me.
Enchanted.
I'm going for Roger Rabbit.
All right, we're so
Enchanted
so
has a better ride. No, it doesn't.
What?
It doesn't even have one.
It has a free parade.
Okay.
Ever, ever after.
Not here.
No. Here it's Jingle Bells, Jingle Bells, Jingle All the Way.
Oh, is she pre-parade over at Disneyland?
Yeah, she's one of like the eight pre-parades. You have three bands, plus Enchanted, plus the Grand Marshal, Year of Million Dreams thing. Then you can actually get to a parade.
Oh, wow. That's cool. That's awesome.
That's funny.
To all who come to that happy place.
Welcome.
Well, Captain, you got one?
Chip or Dale?
Chip, because he has a mnemonic. Dale's just the other one. It's like
Chocolate
Siskel or Ebert.
Knows, and the other one.
The other one, yes.
I like Chip. I'm not a big fan of the Big Gap.
Yeah, that's...
Neither was Paul Pressler.
Oh, that's funny.
Not really.
Have you seen the new Chip and Dale? I mean, have you seen Chip and Dale's new look?
When they're able to articulate and not be ventriloquist?
And when they've lost their comb?
They're very fuzzy.
Anyway, oh, really? The articulated Chippendale you found particularly fuzzy?
I thought they were fuzzy-wuzzy.
We saw them in Twas the Night Before Christmas, right?
Yeah.
I mean, no, Mickey's Twas the Night Before Christmas.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
At the Very Merry Christmas
At the Mickey's
party.
Very Merry Christmas
On Video Hits 1.
Oh, you guys, stop making fun of me.
Did you answer, Fanboy?
No, Chip.
I think I'll go with Dale. He just seems like more fun. Chip is uptight all the time.
I like uptight.
Out of sight. Rebecca.
Plastic or paper? Straws.
Paper or plastic?
I believe in being environmentally conscious, so I'm going to go with the more convenient plastic.
Okay.
No straws, but paper.
Okay.
I'm going to go with plastic, except at Animal Kingdom, where you do it for the animal safety paper.
But yet you could have bottles of soda. It's all very confusing to me.
Well, bottles? They're not going to choke on a bottle.
Well, if people throw bottle caps or...
A quarter.
That's why they make you take off the bottle cap before they give it to you, like at the arena.
Because they don't want guests to choke on it. Rebecca?
I like the paper. I wish they had paper more places, because it's just fun. It's different. It's something unusual.
You better drink it fast.
No, it's
there's
not
an aardvark
like,
on it.
It's not like the paper of the old days when I remember paper straws.
It's confusing, because they bring the paper straw, and I open it, and there's no colored sugar coming out.
But it's really thick. It's almost like cardboard.
Yeah, it is.
But then by the end of your drink, mine was getting all mushy.
Add some fiber to your drink.
I don't know. I like it. I wish there were more places than just Animal Kingdom.
I bet there will be.
Me too.
Disney's Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Oh, I wonder. Do they have them there yet? We should check.
Touchy.
That'd be cool. So a couple of weeks ago, we all had to put on large parkas because it's snowing in Orlando. And the temperature has dropped to 9 degrees.
Brr, sure is cold out here.
Over at the Gaylord Palms Convention Center.
Resort and Convention Center.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot the resort.
Because they never just call it enjoy the rest of your day here at Gaylord Palms. No, as always, enjoy the rest of your day here at the Gaylord Palms Resort and Convention Center.
Why
weren't you
it?
Expecting the word casino every time you said that? the fabulous Gaylord Palms Resort and Convention Center.
I wanted to say campground because I'm so used to being on the monorail. Fort Wilderness Resort and Campground.
The Gaylord Palms Resort and Convention Center is once again host to ICE. It's a very, very lovely exhibit that they bring in each year, and I guess they do it at several other Gaylord Palms resorts as well.
Including one in Alaska.
And
where
stop.
People go there to get warm.
and what they do is they actually bring several artisans over from China and have various exhibits sculpted out of ice. And they have different types of ice. They have clear ice, which, you know, is almost like glass. And then they have frosted ice.
And
then
they have the cream ice.
And then they even have colored ice.
Here.
And they...
Flaxseed, you moron.
And they, you know, before you walk through the exhibits, you get to see a little video about how these various ice types are created.
Starring,
oh, Father...
Old Man Winter.
Oh, Old Man Winter. Yes, that's right.
Well, Father Christmas is there, too. No, Ho 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 is Santa Claus.
And
no, it's that guy from Narnia.
And the parka applause that I received earlier is because the first year that we attended ICE, they were quite concerned over the safety of the Floridians who were unfamiliar with the cold temperatures.
I was terrified.
Tubby was so scared. He had no idea what to
I'd
expect.
I've never been anything less than like 40. I was so scared.
And they give everybody these parkas, and they want you to button them up. And as part of their safety initiative with it, they would have everybody applaud whenever the word parka was said. And it just became something that the lovely individuals that I spend time with adapt. So, by the way, if you ever see any of them, just say parka. And you'll get the lovely golf-style applause.
It's a reflex. We can't help it.
Do you want me to explain a little bit more about ICE, or would you like to talk now?
You can talk. You have a better voice than I do.
I think there's, I don't know, four or five rooms, and they have various themes each year. And this year the theme was travel. And they have a room that's like got a gazebo where you can stand and take your picture, and it's made out of ice. They have another room that has a choo-choo train made out of ice. Yeah, everything's made out of ice, so I'll stop saying that. they have a life-size nativity scene. And as you enter there, they have a very, very tall, I think it was like 9 foot tall angel standing over the entrance as you enter into this life-size nativity with sheep and whatnot. I mean, it's all actual animals there. But the main draw for the little ones and for adults is the three tiers of ice slides.
That third tier is new this year, isn't it?
Yes, they added
really
a new
high.
Taller tier. And Captain John actually braved
The second
ice
one.
Slide.
I didn't go to the third tier.
No, but you braved
the
ice
slide.
There
was a big, long line, and it's like...
If we were 40 in 90-degree weather, yeah, we were waiting for you, you would have been a...
For all you summer people, I mean, for all you warm weather people like us, you feel 9 degrees.
It was very cold.
You're wearing a big coat, and yet...
It is a big,
big,
thick coat.
It's 9 degrees.
Yeah. In fact, when you go out...
Oh, the sign is awesome.
As you leave the arena, the convention center, there's this sign that tells you, explains to you, you know, that your nose is runny and some people think it's funny, but it's not. And then they have several boxes of tissues and handy wipes for you to use because it's cold and everybody gets runny noses.
Yeah, we all look like Rudolph when we enter
that
place. So ice is awesome. I think it costs, what, like $30? $25, somewhere around $25, as I recall.
I don't remember, honestly.
Somewhere in that
neighborhood. I think that's right. And then you pay an additional $10 if you want to go ice skating. They have a rink outside where you can ice skate.
$12 if you want to park.
Yeah.
Parking can be pricey. But one of the reasons... I'm sorry, go ahead, Captain.
But see, you could also park and then see the show.
That's right. Parking's expensive, but you don't have to do ice. You don't have to go ice skating. You can just enjoy all the Gaylord Palm Christmas featuring...
Luminescence.
You'll be talking about this for several days.
That's how they
and
announced
we are.
It.
we've been talking about it more, in fact.
Wow, how would you describe luminescence?
The hard rockin', blow your mind, yet semi-religious and odd combination.
Multimedia.
And so many lasers, you'll have to wear sunglasses.
And that doesn't even include the aerial drum set.
Which you'll be talking about for several days.
It was bizarre.
Yeah, it was.
And loud.
Very loud.
What's funny is suddenly the finding the gnomes scattered throughout the resort isn't the weirdest thing going on at Gaylord Palms Resort and Convention Center.
And luminescence was a bit of a shock for us because we went last year
mm-hmm.
and we saw this delightfully bad, corny, traditional Christmas show.
Oh, totally.
Featuring the song In the Mood. That
we know
the traditional, the holiday traditional favorite. In the Mood.
And Brat, which we absolutely loved.
And, we did. It was delightful.
And apparently it is here again this year. They've just moved it to the daytime
mm-hmm.
so that they can feature...
Luminescence.
And...
Isn't Luminescence the same show as that, like, SeaWorld? It just sounds like a SeaWorld show.
It's not
Luminaria.
Often... It's not often I would recommend you skip an absolutely free show. But
oh,
yes.
You can't skip Luminescence.
No, it's not that bad.
If you like rock music, I mean, you just got to see it. These people are really talented.
I like rock music.
It's just a really weird combination.
I like Christmas music. I like rocked up Christmas music. The whole Trans-Siberian thing is awesome.
That's all this is.
This was bad.
This was bad rock music and good rock music. This was bad rock music.
You people don't understand. You don't know rock music like a fanboy and I do.
Right.
We grew up in the
60s.
Remember Hendrix?
Yeah.
Everybody's going to die. Their heads are going to explode. That's loud.
But we do recommend ICE because ICE is fun. It's totally non-Disney, so it's different. And it's just a lot of fun. And... You know, your expectations aren't quite the same as what they are for a Disney event. The price isn't the same either, so that's okay. And you'll have a good time, I promise. Gaylord Palms Ice, tell them Fanboy sent you.
And
maybe they can advertise with us.
Yeah.
Get a 20% off when you mention Fanboy sent you.
Just kidding, that's not true.
No. But try it.
Don't try it.
Along with the luminescence, they also have... A tree lighting, and they have, 1,000 poinsettias or something?
Oh, right. They weren't there when we were there because they were still...
artificial light.
They were still
natural color.
And they also have, what's the name of the... Do you remember the name of the a cappella singers?
The icicles or something?
Yeah, the icicles.
Something like that. Yeah, cool. They were cute. So there's lots of... And I guess you can build a gingerbread house, But they have the holiday. That's what I was looking for. They have the holiday gnome hunt, and they have the Travelocity roaming gnome, and they've hidden him throughout the atriums of the hotel. Because I mean, the Gaylord Palms is a very, very large hotel, and it has several different atrium areas, each themed to a region of Florida. And so as you wander around, they have the St. Augustine Fort recreation. They have a Key West shoreline. Setting where you have like a bar on the beach and a sailboat inside the atrium, and then they have an Everglades setting, which is where they have their really fine dining location, and it's kind of swampy.
And they have
gators, and they have a shack over there where they have like creepy crawly things that you can go look at.
And gnomes.
And now throughout all this, they hide little gnomes, and you know it's a neat little special little place, it's in between your if you travel the 417 from Orlando Airport to Disney, it's a very easy stopover to just stop and take a look at the hotel before you head on into Disney and, or on your way out.
And so if this sounds good to you, you could book via Travelocity and
Don't back up. You know, we went for the kickoff, and there was some added humor because Gaylord Palms Resort and Convention Center is destined to become the holiday headquarters in Central Florida. So remember that you know, Disney and Universal, they got nothing compared to the Gaylord Palms Resort and Convention Center. In addition, you know, it's great that part of each ticket goes to give kids each
children's
full
ticket.
Price children's ticket
right.
goes to give kids the world. And the head of Give Kids the World was there and was
Mary Clayton.
Was
he's a bunny.
No, the woman.
Oh, you meant the actual head.
Yes.
Hey,
I mean, Mayor Clayton did give a
about,
rousing speech.
I thought he was talking about the bunny rabbit.
So, you vote for Mayor Clayton or Mayor Weaver?
The lady was there.
Was there, and she's talking about how, you know, it's great that we can, that this donation is helping make all those children whose wish it is to visit the world-famous Central Florida attractions is. And I'm sure that's exactly what those poor children are saying every time their wish is, I want to visit the world-famous Central Florida attractions.
You think they're saying, I want to visit Walt Disney World where dreams come true.
Exactly.
And that's exactly what they're saying, where dreams come true.
Next up on the show, Fanboy, do you have a Disney well-known untrue thing to tell us this week?
Ta-da! I do. We talked about how, you know, the perception would be that Garden Walk is competing with Disney. Well, you might also have also thought that DreamWorks is competing with Disney. Far be it from the truth. DreamWorks and Disney partnered on Shrek the Halls, which aired recently on the American Broadcasting Company. In fact, it was so successful, they're re-airing it next week.
Woo-hoo. Is that because there's no writers to write new stuff?
Exactly. Yeah. But... I find it funny.
You found it funny?
No. I haven't seen it. I find it funny that ABC has a lot of rights to a lot of Christmas specials, such as Shrek the Halls, How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Say that three times fast.
A Charlie Brown Christmas.
Classic.
And you know what's missing from that? A Disney Christmas special.
Oh, good point.
What happened to Mickey's Christmas Carol? Is that not good enough for ABC?
They own the rights to that, though, don't they?
I think so.
Okay.
And this week, I think Flamingo Crossings owns it now.
Don't they own the rights to the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Christmas special?
They do, but that's on ABC Family. It's part of the 25 Days of Christmas.
When does that start?
December 1st.
And when does it end?
December 25th.
Oh, so it's 25 consecutive days this year.
Yeah.
That's
and,
pretty cool.
Then it goes into 6 days of New Year's.
And then 340-odd days of the rest of the year. Yeah,
until they get to 13 days of Halloween. So I think sometimes we remember a different time when some of our leaders were more antagonistic to competition. Right. However, now Walt Disney Company is willing to work with competitors to create...
You mean... There was a time when The Incredibles didn't air on NBC?
Yeah, what was up with that?
I have no idea. So it actually wasn't as good as when it aired later on ABC Family.
Yeah.
It was better then.
And you remember when it used to be on network after cable? I was just saying something like, watch the cable premiere of The Incredibles on Toon Disney. And I'm thinking, it's already on like free TV. Not that anyone... doesn't pay for TV anymore, but...
Well, thank you for this week's Disney Myth, and we look forward to another Disney MYTH.
You're in a spelling mood today, aren't you?
O-U-I.
S-U-P-E-R.
O-U-I. Which we don't own.
I saw Killa and the Bee.
Really?
Is that the proper name of that movie?
The one with Jerry Seinfeld?
Actually, I haven't seen it, but... I think... We're just about at the close of this week's show.
You think you can.
But before we close the show, on this edition of Last Place Podcast, I'm going to ask for a final word of wisdom or otherwise from our esteemed panel of experts and the rest. And let's start this week with Rebecca.
I prefer to be called the professor.
So this week when we were, I don't know why, but we were scrolling through our cable listings, we saw Disney On Demand, and it looks as though our Bright House system will finally be offering Disney On Demand. And it got me to thinking that I'm surprised this isn't available yet in Disneyland and Disney World Resort hotels yet. Because, you know, if you're on vacation, you can't always, you know, watch what you want to watch when you want to, you know, you want to watch what you want to watch when you want to watch it kind of thing. And, you know, I know when we were on vacation in Williamsburg, I watched several shows via Slingbox from my DVR. And then there were a couple of shows I watched because I ended up getting sick. There were a couple of shows I watched on downloading, you know, on demand. I think it was from CBS InnerTube. But if you were at a Disney hotel, to me, it would be very cool if I could watch the shows on the TV, not on the computer. That way Dad can work on the computer. Kids can watch, you know, the latest episode of Hannah Montana that they can watch, or whatever specialty programs are available. I know that before they offered, like, the red carpet premiere of High School Musical was available on the Disney On Demand channel. Oh, you're right, High School Musical, too. But imagine if they made, like, the vast library available, like those Dateline Disneys or whatever, you know, stuff where it's, like, the opening of Indiana Jones. So you're at Disneyland, and you can, you know, while you're at the Disney Hotel, you can pull up the opening day of the attraction you just went to, or listen to the interviews with the Imagineers about the attraction you just went on. I think that'd be a cool bonus, and so I vote for that, and I hope everybody will vote with me, even though we have no vote.
Even watch George Foreman riding the ride you're going to be riding.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Yeah, any of that. But so it just got me to thinking. It was one of those Disney wish list things. You know, every once in a while it crosses my mind, so that's my wish for today.
That is a brilliant idea. It should be a law.
Brilliant.
Brilliant. Captain, I know you have some exciting news this week.
Yeah, I'm going to be waking up before the sun's even up to get my DVD.
Of what, Shrek the
Third?
Are
you afraid they're running out?
No, just it's going to be a, you know, I reserved my copy and everything. It's going to be a really big deal.
Okay, hang on. You reserved your copy, so you're waking up really early to make sure get it?
No, see, the first 700 people get something special.
Oh.
So, you know.
What's that, a bag?
I covered this before. You get a lithograph, and you, if you're the first 700, you get a Pirates of the Caribbean Stein. You know, drink up, me hearties, yo ho.
It's not a Stein. It's a really large toothpick holder.
I think in California, they actually are giving people, like, pieces of one of the actual ship they use in the movie. I think, like, piece of the sail, I guess.
They're going to regret that when they make the sequel.
Oh, I think the ship in question, like, blew up in the movie or something.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
The prequel.
The prequel. That would be a disturbing thought. Can you just, like...
Pirates of the Caribbean.
There were, you know, rumors, like, when, you know, Pirates 3 was going around, because they hired, like, some child actor to play some really small part, which I can't even think of at this very second. It's like, Jack Sparrow is going to be, like, really young in this movie, and it's like, wow. That would be really weird.
Be like Mork and Mindy when he ages backwards, maybe?
Because, you know, part of the coolness of Jack Sparrow is that you don't exactly know what on earth he, you know, his origins. It makes him kind of cool. So a prequel would be disturbing. You know, then they would have to throw in, you know, the Jar Jar Binks equivalent.
That's a funny thought.
Take an adventure.
They wouldn't really need to do Attack of the Clones because they took care of that in the third Pirates, didn't they?
I'm not sure.
The clones, the mini Jacks.
That would be in the third movie, I guess. Yeah, so that would be Attack of the Clones.
Okay, that's all I'm saying. Okay. Nothing too deep.
Let's see. Empire Strikes Back was sort of a cliffhanger, sort of. So, you know, Dead Man's Chest could be the equivalent of Empire Strikes Back. Yeah. Okay. Enough. Yeah. All right. I think that's enough of my. See, we had two, you know, we had this big break, and nothing happened, you know?
Kind of like Pirates 2 and 3.
It's been a slow pirating week for me, you know? I haven't been able to...
Well, get your booty on Napster and get that taken care of. Actually, that's legal now. Fanboy.
Kazaa. There you go.
When you meet the someone who is meant for you, before two can become one, there is something we must do. Do you pull each other's tail? Do you feed each other seeds? No, there's something sweeter everybody needs. Just want to share that with everybody.
I've been dreaming that fanboy would shut up.
That is such a good movie.
Oh, we really enjoyed that, didn't we?
And that's the reason we need lips so much, for lips are the only things that touch. So
that was
to spend.
It was so cute. It was so cute.
You think they can use that at the new kennel? Like, if they to get all the animals, they're just going to go open up the door and have Giselle go, and then they'll come scampering and clean, because we can't afford don't have the cast to, like, do custodial anymore.
Well, see, maybe at Animal Kingdom they'll build, you know, the Enchanted Land, and then all she has to do is call out, and then all the animals, you know, come.
That would be cool. They should replace Pocahontas and her forest friends with Giselle and her forest friends.
Okay. And then they could clean up the park.
There's nothing wrong with that park.
Nothing wrong with the park, but maybe a little, you know, all the tourists going through.
Speaking of Animal Kingdom, so they announced that they're building this new kennel and that they're outsourcing all this stuff. And in the little thing I saw, because they're an expert on taking care of animals. If only Disney knew how to take care of animals.
You know, they are a member of the AZA, even though it's not the zoo.
Well, you know, Disney and those lemmings.
That's right.
Point.
Anyway, so it's November 30th, and the holidays are in full swing here at Walt Disney World.
Jingle bells.
It's just so much fun. We've been to the Grand Floridian.
To ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Hey.
Been to the Grand Floridian and seen the big gingerbread house and had I shared a shingle with Rebecca and I had a teacup.
Oh, you had shingles.
Been to, I think my favorite part of Christmas right now, I mean, of the little things, you know, I mean, you got the blowing up the whole world at Epcot and the pretty castle.
Yeah, nothing says peace on earth like blowing up the world.
Of the little things, the campfire carolers over at Epcot.
Yay.
So underappreciated. Because no one has any clue they exist. Over back in Camp Minnie Mickey.
We're trying to change that.
Go see them. They're cool. They kind of remind me of Groove 66 at DCA. And if this were something at California, they'd have so many groupies. It totally has that feel
to it. If Groove 66 and the Mistletoes had a baby.
Oh, the Mistletoes. Yeah, they're better than them.
Shocking. Do you remember the Mistletoes tribute to Neil Diamond?
No.
Yeah, and you're like, this is a Jew. What?
Touche. But they're cool. They have a funny, funny show. I really like them. And I'm really looking forward to, starting November 30th, the Harlem Gospel Choir at Disney's MGM/Hollywood Studios. They should be pretty cool, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I like my gospel from Harlem.
They're so cool. They're on ice.
No, that's
luminescence, and they're not so cool.
They're not so cool. So,
you know, you'll be talking about them for several days.
So the holidays are in full swing. Still haven't gotten to Epcot. Looking forward to that. Blowing up the world.
I saw that last night.
Arches of Majesty.
I saw that last night. It was so smoky that
it was like
Lunaria. How smoky
then.
Was it?
How smoky was it? Improv is not your art.
No, it's not. Only you can prevent forest fires. I don't know. It was pretty smoky, and they've reduced the number of fireworks. That's what they tell me, but you couldn't tell.
And so
they got rid of the buckle up, drive safe, see you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
People actually stay for it.
Well,
now.
No, because it still seems like it's over, but it's not as obvious.
No, but see, with all those fireworks, you know, all the food now has a nice smoky taste after.
Yeah. Oh, that reminds me of the turkey event, which we didn't even mention today, but too bad. We're out of time.
Gobble, gobble, gobble.
Gobble, gobble, gobble. The turkey was at Disney World on Thanksgiving. Magic
fun.
Kingdom. Had a little parade. We went there. Very cool. Went to get a turkey leg. The cart was closed. Strange. Anyway.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Brilliant.
Podcast at laughingplace.com. 866-718-9408. Make a post on the discussion boards. It's so great to be back. We will talk to you next
week.
And until then, gobble, 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 gobble.